Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of God this morning?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. God's doing a supernatural work in these end times. He's knitting together souls.
Yes.
Hearts for a common purpose to manifest His glory.
Cool.
And the flow is arising right now.
Yes.
A flow in your life that you just go from experience to experience with God and encounter the divine destiny, favor manifested in your life. What a time to be on God's side.
Yes.
Pastor Sherry Gaines was in Lexington last Sunday. Some of you went, I know. And I listened to her message.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so confirming what God's been dealing with me.
Amen.
And in fact, I'm going to kind of tag team on what she started. At least be on the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
That's about having a heart for the things of God.
Yeah.
Turn with me in your Bibles. To 1 Chronicles. I'll tell you what. Go to Psalm 73 instead. Psalm 73. Are you there?
Amen.
Look at verse 25. Whom am I, have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I don't know if beside is the right word. I believe above would be better. But God's been drawing on me, not just being all in, but having a desire to be all in.
Yeah.
A higher desire.
Yeah.
The scripture says if we be willing and obedient, we shall, you know, eat the fruit of the land. And it's one thing to be obedient, it's another thing to be willing.
Yes.
And sometimes we try to obey God in our pursuit out of obedience. Well, I'm a Christian, I have to do this. I'm a Christian, I have to read the Word. I'm a Christian, I have to go to church. I'm a Christian, I have to pray.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's got to be a shift in these end times towards what we want to do.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe God's bringing each of us.
Yeah.
I hope you can hear what I'm talking about this morning. To a place you desire that more than anything in life. There's so many distractions out there right now. I mean, now it's football season, right? I was really pulling for the Cats yesterday. They let me down again. And they did good up to a point. Anyway, there's sports season. Fall's coming. I mean, school's started. There's all these things we can desire to do. Christmas season is coming. You're ready for another 4 billion Hallmark movies. But if you really get with God, you really get with Him, you experience an impartation, trying to make a connection with Him, that you realize there's nothing more important than being in that connection.
Amen. That's right.
Friday, I took much of the day, just went upstairs and sat in my chair and worshiped God. Put on my Phil Driscoll music and just sit and worship God for a few hours. I don't know how long. Got in the Word, worship God. But His presence comes on you that's like, what else would I rather do? What else is of any importance than to know Jesus? And because it's more than just recognizing there's a God. It's more than just seeing some power move in your life, some promises manifested. It's an experience that you were designed to experience. It's an encounter you were designed to experience. That God in you arises to the forefront of your comprehension, of your thinking, of your encounter with Him, that you're actually fulfilling destiny.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think our destiny is fulfilled when we, you know, can do some miracle for God. And praise God for that. That's part of the assignment. But destiny is in knowing Him.
Yes.
Destiny is in carrying Him and experiencing Him in every facet of your life.
I agree. Yes.
We talked about, in fact, the reason I'm gone is one of the reasons I'm on this morning is a year ago, 13 months ago, we started in a different facility. And the second service there, God said, I want you to teach on our presence. You teach on until the rapture. It'd be a major subject until the rapture. We're here in a new facility, and I believe the Lord told me to teach on it again now. Focus on my presence. And so, in this place of just sitting with God, it becomes all you want to do. And God's transitioning us to a place, I believe, as a body, it's all we want to do. Now, we want to do the assignments. But see, usually in the church, we put prayer, pursuit, worship as a means to go do an assignment. And God's saying, no, the assignment is to know Him. And everything else is going to flow out of that as a side benefit, not the original intent. Do you follow what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And if we're going to, in fact, I've started teaching on the presence of God. And we taught three things necessary to move into God's presence. And I'm sure you all remember all of them, right? Three steps to move into God's presence. Three requirements. What was number one? Everybody at once.
All in.
Holiness.
I didn't get it wrong.
If you want to pursue God, you can't go in there just some, you know, sin-focused individual, no desire to honor God with your life and, you know, you do whatever you feel like, whatever the flesh feels like. Back in, you know, the hippie days, there was a saying went around, if it feels good, do it. That'll take you to hell. Amen? Because sin is pleasurable for a season. At the end thereof, it's not pleasant. And so, holiness, learning to seek God to get His assistance, His anointing, His direction, to get sin out of your life.
Yes.
You follow me?
Yes.
There's certain things we shouldn't be doing.
That's right.
Step number two. You remember step two?
Praise and worship.
Praise and worship. Worship. Thankfulness. Actually, we use the term thankfulness, I think. It's just walking around with a revelation of God or a recognition of God. I thank You, Jesus, for Your presence on my I thank You for Your reality that You're real. I thank You, Lord God, for all You're doing for me. And you praise Him in every situation. Not for every situation, but in every situation. Amen. You keep an attitude of thankfulness because joy flows out of that. Jerry Sabo wrote a book years ago called If the Devil Can't Steal Your Joy, He Can't Keep Your Goods. After your peace, your joy. And thankfulness keeps all that flowing intact. Number three was all in. Let's go through it again. Holiness. Thankfulness. All in. And so I think it's good to write these down and just remind yourself of them. Because, and you're probably doing it. You didn't know there were the three steps. But you never know when I'm going to give an old test. All in means you're sold out.
Yes.
Whatever God would have you do.
Yes.
But you can be sold out and your heart not be fully in it.
That's right. Yes. Good.
You can follow me?
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell on Patty that this has been 30 years ago. We're in a service and God spoke to her. She had just been made a pastor's wife. Not so much willingly, but of necessity. She knew it was God. She was doing what she needed to do, but she wasn't happy about it. And God showed her the verse. You are obedient, but you're not willing. And it's blocking the fruit from manifesting in your life. She had to get to the place it's God's will. I accept it. Amen. And so, it's one thing to be all in, it's another thing to desire it. And I want to talk about desiring, craving, thirsting for the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. You got to desire. Now, I've got passages I need to get to tonight. Today, here's morning. This morning.
This morning.
It may take us a little bit to get through, but I have to have you see this. Now, let me go and make the point right now. It's easy for a person to say, well, I just don't feel like praying. I don't feel like getting the word. It's not my heart. It's not my desire. It's not my heart to be in church, you know, more than I have to be, or, you know, the bare minimum. It's not my heart to give or tithe or whatever, you know, just if it's who I am, who God made me. No, it's not. You're a three-part being. Listen to me. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. And you live in a body. But the real you is spirit.
Yes.
Do you follow me?
Yes.
The holy part of you is spirit. When you were born again, God recreated you spiritually that you have a desire for the things of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You're recreated in love. You love God. You love the things of the Spirit.
Yes.
And anything that tries to hinder you from being sold out to God with a heart for it is contamination in your soul or domination by the flesh. The flesh dominating you. Here's an example of the flesh dominating you. I can go all day, not be sleepy until I open the Bible. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Jerry Seville used to stand on the edge of his bathtub to read the Word because he gets so sleepy. He said, flesh, if you're going to fall asleep, you'll hurt yourself, but I'm reading the Word. Or try to pray, you know. You try to pray in tongues, every distraction in the house is going to rise up. Things start breaking down as you're praying. Just to get you off track, right? So the flesh knows how to interrupt your spiritual pursuits, right? The soul. Understand, when you got born again, you got a new spirit, you kept the same old soul. And the soul is neutral as far as its capability. You can be fleshly minded, or you can be spiritually minded. To be fleshly minded, the Word says, is death. Right? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the way you get spiritually minded is by retraining your soul to think about kingdom truths.
Yeah.
You read program.
Yes.
Trying to think of some things I learned to do by habit. Here's one. I rode motorcycles. And I'm not a bad rider. Skip that accident I had in 2021. That was a fluke. I'm a decent rider. And I've been told that. But when I'm riding a motorcycle, I don't think about it. I'm going around a corner, I just know how to lean. When you're going into a corner, you turn the handlebars the opposite direction that you're going to turn, put you into a lean, get you around the corner. I don't think about it. I just do it. And when I first learned to ride, you had to think about it. In fact, where's the front brake on a motorcycle, on most motorcycles? Where's it at? Right hand. Where's the clutch?
We're watching Wayne because he knows all that.
On most motorcycles, how do you shift gears? Where's your shifter? Left foot. You're doing your right foot, that's the front brake. Mess up that brake.
Somewhere on the tank.
What's that?
Somewhere on the tank.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, I said normally. And I start mine with a push button, not a kick. You know what? When I first started riding, I had to think, okay, front brake, clutch, shifter. A long time, but you had to think about it. But you did it enough times, you don't think about it anymore. It's just habit. And I can go through all six of my gears and never think about when I'm hitting the clutch, when I'm, you know, toe tapping or whatever. Here we go. Heel tapping. You just boom, 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 boom. You go through it. Lean the corners, hit the brakes, whatever. In fact, it's not until it becomes habit you're really safe on one. At least somewhat safe. Because in an emergency, you don't have time to think. You need to react.
Amen.
And once it becomes habit to you, you just react.
Yeah.
How did you get like that? Time in operation. Practice. Not so much practice, just experience. It just becomes ingrained within you. Same with pilots. You know, the goal when, with fighter pilots used to be, you had to get them from thinking to acting. And it becomes second nature to you. And the same thing's true with anything your soul's learning to do. It takes time and application. Experience. And in spiritual pursuits, you've got to make your soul become retrained. I mean, I can remember Patty when we first were saved. She'd read the Bible. I don't get anything out of the Bible. I don't want to read. She'd have to make herself read. Now she's in the Word all the time. There was a retraining that she realized, I can't get stuff out of this. This is fueling me. This is my spiritual bread. I'm getting revelation. It's instructing me. It's changing me. But that's out of time in application. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
And there's a why you may have to make yourself do it, but there's got to become a time where that's all we desire. Let me give you another example of this. I was first saved. And my favorite thing to do besides fishing was watch college football. I'd get up early Saturday when they first came on, pregame come out, watch it all until they were off at midnight or whatever. All day. And I'm saved. And I go to watch the game. It was a big game day. I think maybe Alabama, Notre Dame or something like that. Big game. Season just kicking off. And I get up and God spoke. Just, I want you to turn the TV off and go watch football today. I want you to pray. You know that was the day of white knuckle prayer? Because the TV screaming, this is what you'd rather do. The soul that's not renewed says, you're missing the games and not thinking, I'm getting connected to God. It became something I had to do versus what I wanted to do. And I'm telling you, God's bringing us to a point now. The spiritual pursuit is all you want to do. And Friday when I was worshiping, I was in that zone. God, can we just do this from now on? I don't know. In fact, I've talked about it. God delivered me from projects, things I got to do. I've been knocking stuff out because I want to get to the place. Jesus is all I have time for. And of course, the assignments come out of it. You know, evangelism, praying for people, ministering, whatever. Spending time with Patty, whatever it might be. There's assignments. But you move into assignments out of time with God.
Yeah.
Versus time with God is a leftover once you've done your assignments. And the change has got to happen to make this possible. You've got to want it.
Yeah.
And I recommend even right now you start declaring over your life, all I want is God. There was a time in my life, all I wanted was a woman. Well, I got the best one after. I'm fixed on that. But as much as I love Patty, God is of more necessity and more importance to me than her. And in fact, without me spending time with God, our relationship with her will most likely heavily diminish. Because out of a relationship with God, I have something I can bring to her that's worthy of her receiving.
Yeah.
But that time with God, once you get into it, you know there's nothing else of great importance.
Amen. That's right.
But problem is when you're not in it, that thought, that memory slips. It is so easy to get out of a habit of worshiping and seeking God because of the stuff seems more important, more necessary. You got to remind yourself it's not. God is number one, of number one importance in my life. When we would do all night prayer, we would get that every Friday night. Almost every Friday. You start off praying about faith. Oh, Jesus. Oh, but you get to a place where the presence of God came on you that all you could do was sit down and just kind of marinate. I think marinate is a great word for you. Marinate in the presence of God. It's like bacon, you keep brushing on more of the love of God. And when you got there, maybe some of you can testify to this. There was a revelation, a realization came, this is the most important thing you could ever be doing in your life. Friday again, I'm worshiping God. I'm acting like Friday's the only time to do it. Friday's just a day of just special connection for me. Friday, I don't remember what I was going to say. There was a realization of how important it was again. I had a great point to make. It hit me. Something spoke to me in it. Friday was just a time of connecting with Him and knowing like, this is the most important thing I could be doing. And if I would do this, He would line everything else up in my life to flow. What happens when we make God a leftover, things don't flow right. We get more and more behind, more and more distracted, more and more, messed up. But if you put God first, that would be first thing in the morning, but you make sure you make Him a priority to get with Him, and then you realize this is what's important. Things start to flow and line up together.
Yes.
So we've got to get to the place we could quit postponing encounters with God. Amen?
Amen.
And so, whom am I in heaven but you? It's amazing how there's so many addictive things in the world. I mean, alcohol, drugs, pornography, shopping, whatever, gambling. There's so many addictive things the enemy has. But God says He so honors our free will. He never addicts us to anything. When I'm in the presence of God, you think, I will never leave this. I will never leave. I will never depart from this. But then when you get out of it, because God doesn't addict you, you have to remind yourself, I got to get back to that place. And if you do it, He's faithful. He's going to show up. And it's going to change your life. And all these things you thought were so important are going to start to drift away. Like fishing did with me. I could care less if I went fishing again. It used to be the goal of my life. That was the point I was going to make. I've shared this before. We were first married. I was a fishing nut. And I would leave for a weekend to go fishing. Just me. Take my boat, my truck. I'd go fishing. Fish all day, half the night. Sleep in the truck, get up and do it again the next day, get back on a Sunday night or whenever. And the whole time I got a newly married, a new wife at home, beautiful wife, by herself. And I chose to go fishing over spending time with my wife. I feel like what Mark Barkley told me, that was dumb. And when God delivered me from the fishing, I realized, what was I thinking? Slimy old fish, cold water, I like spam and Vienna sausage, but you know, that's what you're eating cold. Mm-hmm. I didn't bother to cook nothing. And I cooked at home with my beautiful wife. I'm glad she stuck with me through those times. Mm-hmm. And when you get with God, you realize I could have been doing this all along. Mm-hmm. I could have been with you this whole time. But again, what keeps us from doing it, from going after God wholeheartedly, even desiring it, is a soul that's not yet renewed to that experience. It's not become a practice. I'm telling you, you got to desire it. I mean, as much as life itself. And you can't desire it until you've tasted it. Again, I grew up on cheap chocolate. Once I tasted Dove, it was over. For good chocolate, you know, she likes them. Dove's my favorite, I think. She likes others. It was over. No more Zachary chocolate for me. Wax coat is junk, you know. I was raised on ice milk. I think I might have been. Now, we had some homemade ice cream. I think I was probably in college before I had real ice cream. Didn't know. Same with steak. Listen, I was raised in a family who imparted a poverty mentality at some level. We never had good steak. We had, was it round steak that you beat to pieces?
Yeah.
I mean, she'd have it meat tender out, pow, beat it to pieces. And it still was like trying to pull leather apart. Well, I had all my teeth. I didn't know anything about good steak. When I got a good steak, it's like, whoa, this really exists? There's some things you don't know what you're missing until you experience it. And one is that presence of God that's more than just what I prayed. It's not I encountered.
Yes.
I experienced. And you were designed for it. You were built for it. You know, we've got these rechargeable batteries. Until something charges them up, they're never fulfilling their purpose. You follow me?
Yes.
And they're charged up to fulfill an assignment. Right? But they're not going anywhere without the charging.
Right.
You're the same way. You were made to get with God for a recharging, to be able to fulfill assignments. But the purpose is to stay charged.
Yes.
Stay filled. And God is drawing us to a place that's all you want. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if I asked for a show of hands, there'd be a bunch go up. How many struggle with wanting to go get in the Word and wanting to go pray? Don't raise your hand. Maybe almost universal. I mean, I have to fight some of it myself, and this is what I do. God's bring us to a place of experiencing Him. That's all you want to do.
Yeah.
I know when I was in the glory, and this has been many years ago, for almost 2 weeks, a word and prayer is all I wanted to do. I just want to sit with God. Just, Jesus. Every drug that exists is a counterfeit of something God has available for us. Without the munchies. I'm a paranoid. And you can get with God where you're humming. You're zoned. You follow what I'm talking about, trying to talk about it. But you gotta want it. We will have opportunities later in the day, later this week, to do a distraction or do Jesus. Until it becomes something we really want, we'll choose the distractions. Amen. Let me show you this about the distracted soul. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Anybody have any home projects going on? Just a few. Oh, Peggy's always got them. Romans chapter 7. Let me mention Peggy for a minute. Peggy likes the garden. She wants to have her own farm to raise all these crops on, right? And I appreciate Peggy's garden. I've been living on it all summer. And so it's been my number one weight loss aid. I just eat those vegetables. She gave me a big bag of green beans last night. I finished them last night. Or last week, I finished them last night. I ate every one of them raw. Every one of them raw. That's some big green beans at night. Sometimes I cook them. This would be the moment.
How did you do it?
Huh?
Did you mash them? Just
bite
them?
I just bite them.
Oh.
I'll bite the tips off and throw it away. I eat the green beans.
I like them good.
Anyway, Peggy likes to garden, to farm. Peggy, you've grown quite a bit of crops this year. How many crops did you plant?
I have no idea. No. All of them. All of them.
Everything
but corn and melons.
I bet you don't mow anything in your backyard, do you?
Very little. Yeah.
She got all these crops she planted. Peggy, did you have to go plow some around, till some around before you planted them this year?
I have a shovel.
You shovel? You don't have a tiller?
No, I'm a no-till. I shovel.
And why are you a no-till?
Because you don't have weeds.
Oh, okay.
Long stories, but it's much better.
I was going to take a collection to get you a tiller.
No weeds, less watering.
So you had to shovel all this ground up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lord, I did that.
Had to break up the clods. Had to sow the seed.
Yep.
Water it.
Fertilize.
Mulch,
manure, copper spray.
And I'm sure there were some pesticides involved somewhere along the way.
Neem oil. Yes.
Wow. So all these steps. She had to do all that before she ever got a crop. She had to do all that work before she ever saw a harvest. Why did you do it?
Hey, I know it works.
Because inside she saw the harvest. She's sowing, did you use tomato seeds or tomato slips?
Both.
She's planting tomato seeds, seeing tomatoes on them. Do you follow me? She could see a result that was worth the effort. And now she's experiencing the result, and it's good. Do you follow me? I think she's got 37 kinds of tomatoes planted. And you got to be the same way. You got to realize inside, I hunger for God. My spirit man, all it wants is Jesus. It was designed to plug into God and be charged and experience fullness of life. But there's a soul in this way that doesn't know what's available fully. Doesn't realize how great it's going to be. It thinks, oh, it may be okay, but it's surely not worth as much as me, you know, watching ball games. The soul needs to be renewed, redeemed, reprogrammed. And we got to get to the place where we recognize there's a harvest that's way going to be better than you ever thought possible. Through the efforts you impart, because God's not mocking whatever you sow, you reap. The efforts you make spiritually to develop yourself and to move towards desiring God would be so much further beneficial than you thought. In fact, it will be heaven on earth. But you got to recognize that to go after it. And then you start making steps to move towards God. Here's what's neat. Think about this. Well, there's God, and I'm here, and I got to do all this retraining to get all this stuff, all these paths, all these experiences, to get to God. No. God said, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you.
That's right.
You start moving, he starts moving.
Yeah.
He's going to meet you a whole lot closer and sooner than you thought possible.
That's right.
With a whole lot less effort.
Yep.
It's just a matter of just a matter of putting your Changing your desire.
Yes.
Changing your goal. And he's going to show up. Are you in Romans chapter 7 yet?
Yes.
I need to read the whole chapter, but we, I don't want to put you to sleep myself. Go to verse number 22. Paul writes, "For I delight in the law of God, the things of God, after the inward man." That's the spirit man. In other words, my spirit man wants the things of God. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Listen, your spirit man was redeemed from sin, but your mind still remembers how to do it. Your body will still enjoy it. Do you follow me? And he says there's a war going on. In fact, he says in Ephesians, the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit. As long as these two are battling, you can't do the things you want to do. You got to win the war.
Yes.
Have we got any warriors?
Amen.
Verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, Paul here is actually contrasting life before you were saved to life afterwards. He's kind of reflecting back on before you were saved, that you were in a battle trying to fulfill the law through your own effort. You couldn't win. "O wretched man that I am," he's talking about pre-cross, that I could not fulfill the law of God by my own effort. Right? There was too much of a battle. Internally, I may have wanted to or think I did, but I was losing. "Who should deliver me from this body?" Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." He's talking about this battle taking place. Chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." He says, before Jesus, you couldn't win.
That's right.
But now you can. Now sin is still in there. Not in your spirit, but in your mind and in your flesh. But he said, if you will go after Jesus, you can live condemnation free.
Amen.
He didn't say do it perfectly. Just go after. I will guarantee you, nobody here, including myself, has sought God perfectly in the past week. Much less the past year. You've had, you know, we've had said the wrong thing potentially, thought the wrong thing, reacted the wrong way, and even pursued the wrong things. Not necessarily sin, but cornbread. Mm-hmm. I don't go into that again, right? I go to an all-you-can-eat restaurant, I don't eat the cornbread. It's filler. It's just filler. And I'm going to beg, text De Brazil, bring me the lamb piccata. Whatever, bring me the meat. I'm not eating the cornbread and the lobster biscuit. In the same way, you can fill your day with fluff, with things of no spiritual purpose. Now, understand your day is also going to have things you have to do. You have to work, you have to clean the house, or, you know, make meals or eat or fellowship, you know, spend time with your family. Those aren't fluff. That's not corporate. That's assignment. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be so good to do it if you were filled with God when you did it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Make all the difference. What's fluff is things that are not oriented in that direction. You just choose to do. We choose to do. And again, we've got the list we've gone through. How much time can we spend on social media that doesn't produce a thing? You get caught up in it. It's definitely more addicting than the presence of God. going to do to you. He calls you. So, where was I at? It's not happening again.
One blood,
one clean
flesh.
I can't hear you.
War, clean the spirit
from
the body.
The war that was going on anyway. Oh, the fluff.
Yeah.
You can fill your day with cornbread, or you can fill it going after the things of kingdom and being on assignment. And God's drawing us to this place of being on assignment. And if you do, there's a retraining that takes place. You move to that place. That's all you want to do. That's all you want to do. I was sharing with someone the other day over my house. Mike Houston, my favorite tool. I've had favorite tools over the years. My favorite tool for the past 10 years has been an impact driver. A 20-volt battery impact driver. I have Porter cable. I've had screw guns for years. I've had screw guns going back for 40 years. And you can take a screw gun and drive it into a piece of wood, and it may or may not go in. It'll probably round out the head. Impact driver. It'll go into the wood. It'll go all the way through the wood. It'll come out the other side and take them out as well. I've never had a tool do what it does. It's my favorite tool. I use it virtually daily for everything. I must do it on my hand with it. Dip an ER with that one. I love that tool. And once I discovered that tool, I never use a screw gun again to drive screws. Not a normal one. A drywall gun, different. But I don't ever put screw tips in my drills anymore. I use the impact gun. In the same way, once we start experiencing how good God is, how spending time with Him really improves our life, how it really makes things flow, it'll bring us to the place we won't touch anything else. That may be an unsuitable substitute. You got to have it. And so he said, there's no condemnation if you go after God. It's a process. This thing's a process. Again, I see videos online of people learning to ride a motorcycle. They drop them. They fall off of them. They crash them into things. They go into ditches. And I've ridden with different groups, and there'd be somebody new. I was with one group several years back. And he's got a pretty big motorcycle. He takes off. He's making a left turn in the street. The whole group turns. He goes straight into a ditch. We get to pick up his mic. Get it back on the road. New rider. Didn't know how to turn the motorcycle. hit the wrong clutch or something. You went straight into the pretty good ditch down there. He's not yet learned to experience, not a practice to flow with it. And God's getting us a place that we flow in going after Him. But you got to practice it. And you got to, listen, I keep saying you need to desire it. No, you need to recognize it's available. Because if you start doing it and experiencing it, then the desire will come. But you got to do it sometimes just by faith. It's coming. I remember us growing gardens on the farm. Our garden was made of red clay. And we'd run a tiller through it, or we'd bounce one through it, pop, 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 because it just bounced. We had a power post hole digger. You know, the back of the tractor wouldn't go through it. So you're talking about needing to plow the ground. And hey, good, you get it tilled up, you plant the crops. Rains on a few times, you go to do the weeds, and it was like concrete. Weeds are going through concrete. You couldn't hoe it. In fact, I would take the hoe, hold it flat, and just cut the weeds off at the top because you couldn't cut them. I'll set them back a little bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you got to plow through some things. The desire is coming. The want to is coming. Don't feel like for like, well, I just have to pray the rest of my life. I got to get an order. No, no, no. You're going to get to the place that's all you want to do. But it's a process of getting there. And in the process, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to slip up on it. Well, I didn't even pray today. There's no condemnation. Just go after Jesus. You follow me? Now look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Free! I'm free from that old limited law. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. I want to read that again. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, you're trying to do stuff legalistically? It's hard. In fact, it's virtually impossible. It says, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus came to earth as a human, but without sin. Accepted our sin on the cross, right? And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it. This sin mentality that we carry into our salvation is what tries to block us from pursuing God fully. Is anybody following me this morning?
Yes.
This mentality is what's keeping us from going all in.
Yes.
And here, Paul says, when Jesus came, He gave us the power to overcome sin because He condemned it in the flesh. He condemned it. So it's holding you back from going after God 100%. Jesus already condemned. Say that again. Let me ask for a show of hands this time. How many of you really would want to pursue God and want God 100%?
Yeah.
It should be every Christian. Because what you know is the truth. But if I asked here and said, how many people are actually pursuing God 100%, my hand would go up. And probably the blocking factor is desire, lack of desire, full desire, or else you would do it. And sin mentality, in other words, fallen mentality, thinking it's not going to produce. You don't know how good it is. You don't know how good ice cream is and good chocolate is until you've had it. I can tell you it's great, but until you've had it, you don't
good
know.
Donuts.
Good donuts.
We know.
You don't know until you've had it how good it is. And until you've had it and know how good it is, you won't be motivated to go after it for it. So you got to do it by faith. And so Jesus says He condemned sin in the flesh, including our mindsets that want to keep us from going after God fully. But here's the thing, when something's condemned, what does condemned mean? I have a definition I use all the time. What's it mean?
Targeted for destruction.
You got it. Targeted for destruction. Targeted to be torn down. See, Jesus, when He came, He didn't tear down the sin in your flesh and in your mind. He gave you the power to tear it out, and He put a sign on it that says it's condemned, now you tear it out.
Yeah.
You do it. And what happens is you target tearing it out. All of a sudden, it's backfilled with more of Him. More desire for Him. But again, you've got to start ripping it out by faith. I've done a lot of construction projects in my life. And sometimes you go in and you see what's got to be tore out and you think, this is hopeless. But you start doing it. How do you eat an elephant One bite at a time. And I have the perfect example in my house. We have upstairs, I have a man castle, but Patty has a wrapping room. And wrapping room is where she goes up and wraps gifts for Christmas and your birthdays and all this other stuff. It also becomes the accumulation center of everything she hadn't put away yet. Yeah. So it gets piled full of stuff. It's piled full of stuff right now. And she goes up and says, "We need to move. This is hopeless." And I do it about once or twice a year. Only twice a year. I go up there and I rearrange her room. Because she's not going to do it. Because she looks at it and says, "There's no way."
Too overwhelming.
But I have spent so much time rearranging stuff and
stuff.
I'm an organizer. You look at my garage, wouldn't believe it, but stuff has a place. I know how to maximize space, I'll put it that way. She just gives up. And I have to go up there, and usually I do it overnight. She would have been up there and just redo a room overnight. Stay up all night. And I'll put everything away, you know, sort stuff, whatever. One bite at a time. You look at the room and think, that's condemned. That's impossible. But yet, if you go in and you start moving stuff out, I start in one spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I move everything out and start taking care of that spot. Then I move to the next spot.
Right.
In fact, I'll move everything out in our loft area. To make room to reorganize and address it a step at a time. And you do the same thing spiritually. That mentality is condemned. Okay, today, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to target this spot. I'm going to spend 20 minutes praying in tongues today. I'm going to spend half an hour reading the Word. I'm going to take my confession cards or my confession list. I've given out several of them. I've got them for couples. I've got them for you. We've got confession cards. Today, I'm going to read this. Yeah. I'm going to spend 10 minutes thinking about it. Yeah. And you start targeting for demolition. Mindsets that are limiting you from pursuing God all in. And as you do, here comes God filling the space. Yeah. And one of the most valuable things you can do, because we always want to do, we're doers. Gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do this. One of the most valuable things you can do is nothing. Other than sit in your chair, get all distractions out of your view, don't worry about whether the bed's made or there's dust bunnies up the refrigerator. Put on some worship music and just say, "God, I love you." Tell God you love him. Tell him you love him for about 30 minutes if you have to. And in fact, here's what to do. Tell God, "I'm not moving until you show up."
Amen.
"I'm not moving until you show up." He loves that. And then do it. Don't move until he shows up, and he'll show up. Amen. Amen. I did it for 2 hours. He didn't show up. Well, try it again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Benny Hinn sought God every night for a year before he ever heard of God, before God ever showed up. But when he did, he showed up with miracle power. Just make it a priority. Have you got anything out of this today?
Yes.